In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Today is the sixth Sunday of the Holy Great Fast, and actually the final Sunday. Next Sunday will be the glorious feast of the Hosanna Sunday, or the Palm Sunday. The Gospel of today is the one that we're very all familiar with, and we all maybe love, because we see how this blind man put to shame the Pharisees by his faith. And this blind man was a spectacle to behold at the time. People coming in and out of the temple would see him begging there as a blind, being helpless. Then they saw and witnessed the Lord Jesus anoint his eyes with a clay that he made with his saliva and sent him off to wash and came back and he saw. And then maybe the people witnessed the questioning and the interrogation of this poor blind fellow. When asked who sinned, whether this man or his parents sinned, the Lord Christ answered and told his disciples that neither this man sinned nor his parents, but what? But that the works of God may be revealed in him. That the works of God may be revealed in him. Does this mean that God put this poor fellow through all of these years of torture simply so he can show off a miracle? Absolutely not. Christ did other miracles that were very miraculous, and in no way or instance was Christ doing this to show off. He was doing this to send a message, to validate his word, that he is the Son of God, and he is the Messiah who they have been waiting for. So what does it mean when he says that the works of God might be revealed in him? I think the Lord Christ wanted to make him as an example among all of the people and before the Pharisees that day. What is it that Christ wanted to reveal through this poor blind man? You know, the Lord says, no one, when he has lit a lamp, puts it under a basket, but on a lampstand, that those who come may see the light. That those who come may see the light. So Lord Christ will take some of these individuals that he encountered and want to elevate them to be as a light before everybody else. Just like Job was in his time, just like Abraham was in his time, and Isaac and Jacob and so on, and David. He wanted to put them as a lamp to others to look to and learn from. So the Lord Christ maybe was preparing for this young man his whole life for this one day in which he'll put him up on a pedestal like so and let him be a light for everyone. What was so special about this man? And what is it that we can learn from him that God wanted to reveal to us? And as we're speaking about maybe his qualities, we'll think in the back of our minds the same question that Christ said about this blind man, he says to you and I, that he wants to be revealed in us. Christ wants to be revealed in us. As the Lord says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and what? And glorify your Father who is in heaven. So he wants to be revealed in us as well. But what can we learn from this blind fellow? Number one, his faithful obedience. When the Lord Christ came, he came and spat on the ground, made clay, and put it on his face. And then he said, go and wash. If anybody was in a similar circumstance, if anybody touched us with a piece of mud, and if I've just put on my makeup, or if I've just put on that very nice suit, and somebody touched us with a piece of mud, or if we were standing on the side, anybody ever stand like on a sidewalk and a car came by and we got wet and my dress got wet, it was like the end of the world, right? If our clothing gets dirty by somebody else, we get very angry. This poor blind man, he didn't do anything. When Christ put the dirt on his eyes and told him to go wash, he simply got up and went and washed. He was faithful in his obedience. He didn't require understanding before he obeyed. He didn't require understanding before he obeyed. This is a big point. Listen to what the Lord, what St. Paul says about this kind of obedience. He says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. So the things we see now were not made with things that were visible. So what we see now, we didn't see in the creation. We didn't see in the beginning. But we believe that they exist and they are. Saint Augustine says two beautiful sayings. He says, believe first and then rationalize. When it comes to God, believe first and then rationalize. Then he says what? Faith is to believe in what we do not see. And the reward of faith is to see what you believe. St. Augustine, I'll repeat it again. Faith is to believe in what we don't see. But then the reward of faith is to see what you believe. This is not a concept that's far-fetched from all of us. There are many things that we experience in life that we do and believe in without understanding or seeing. If you take anybody, for example, who's in the military, and they said, okay, go on this assignment, your assignment is to go and board this ship and you're going somewhere. They don't tell them where they're going or where the mission is until they get there. But because of their lack of understanding, do they not go? No, they obey, even while they're in the dark. Many students, when you're in your courses, whether it's in grade school or in college, you're given assignments and you're thinking to yourself, what is the purpose of this assignment? I see zero value in this assignment. But relax, I think it's busy work. It's just to keep us busy, you know, to say that he's doing something. It's the lack of our understanding. But do we discard it? No, we do it anyways, right? We obey anyways. Those of us who are in work and are employed by employees, they say, do this and fill out this form, and this is the process by which you fulfill your task. We do it, and we might say, this is so cumbersome, this is so that, it's not needed. But what happens? We do it. We obey, without us understanding. How many of us, before we board an airplane, understand how the airplane works? I myself have no idea how this jet, that's maybe this big, propels this huge, you know, airplane with our luggage and all of us on there. But what happens? I get on with faith, right? I get on without understanding. And I believe. So when we're asked to trust in God and to believe in Him, obey Him, despite our lack of understanding, why is it that we say, no, I have to understand everything? The Lord Christ, when the disciples came back after they had preached the 70, He said, in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit. So He was very happy. Why were you happy, Lord? He said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have revealed these things or hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes. This is exactly what we saw in the gospel today. He hid them from the wise and prudent and revealed them to the babes, to the blind man. One of the wonderful qualities of children is that they're very good at distinguishing the instructions of a parent versus a stranger. We're all taught as kids, don't follow a stranger, don't listen to a stranger. I remember when I was a young boy growing up, and my father was teaching me how to swim. He got into the deep end, and then he sat me up on the side there, and he says, jump. I looked at him, jump? Are you sure? He's like, yeah, I'm going to catch you. Don't worry. And I mustered up a little bit of, you know, courage, and I jumped. But if this would have been a stranger, do you think I would have jumped? Absolutely not. Children have a knack for obeying those people they trust and the people that protect them. So in the same way, when we trust someone, we look at God and we trust Him because of His power and His ability and His love for us, it should be very easy for us to trust Him. When He says, do this, to fast, when He says, to pray, when He says, you know, to avoid any sin, and don't worry, I'll take care of you, even if people make fun of you, and they revile you and persecute because you're a Christian or because of your beliefs, don't worry about that. You'll be blessed. We should believe that. There's a story of a young Russian girl who was 8 years old. There was a famine in the land. And the pastor told the parishioners, okay, we're going to pray that God send rain, you know, to the city because it's been a long time and our crops are suffering. So the people, the next Sunday, they're getting ready for church, and this young girl, Emily, who's 8 years old, is getting ready with her family. And her parents ask her, Emily, do you remember what we're going to pray for today? She's like, yes, we're going to pray for rain today. And then they get ready. The parents are downstairs and they're waiting for Emily. Come on, Emily. Come on, Emily. Where are you? Come on. So then Emily, poor little girl, she's getting on her way down. The parents get in the car and waiting. And lo and behold, Emily's coming down. Why were you late, Emily? She said, I couldn't find the umbrella. All of the other parishioners in the church came just come to pray for rain. But Emily came to pray expecting the result. She came with an umbrella, believing that what, before we leave the church, it's going to be raining outside. Right? This is faith. This is faith. She obeyed, and we are called to obey faithfully like this blind man. The second thing we can learn from this blind man and how God revealed himself in him was that he wasn't overly sensitive. He was not overly sensitive. The born blind was not offended when the Lord put clay on his eyes. He wasn't offended. He didn't take it personally. He didn't yell at him. He said, what are you doing? You know, sometimes what comes to our mind is maybe what we saw in the movies, right? Of Jesus of Nazareth. But this actually wasn't happened. It didn't happen because it wasn't written in the gospel. He didn't say that. He didn't say, don't touch me. What are you doing? No, he didn't say that. It says he anointed his eyes and told them to wash, and he went and washed. Just like that. But this man wasn't so sensitive. He was not easily offended. He wasn't easily offended. Sometimes we become very easily offended. And typically when we are not inconvenienced or we live a pampered life. And I think all of us here, myself included, we live a pampered life comparing to the rest of the world. Right? We have a house to live in, with walls that don't leak, and we have food to eat, and we have our own personal car. They say people that have these three things are of the top 15% in wealth in the world. I think all of us, you know, have these things. So sometimes when we have these things, we become intolerant of anything and become highly sensitive to anything. But this poor blind man who was sitting there and was used to begging, when somebody came and put clay on his eyes, it wasn't a big deal to him. It wasn't that big of a deal. So how can you and I learn to not be so sensitive about what people say and what people do, maybe what you know with other people who are around us? I think if we look and compare ourselves, maybe our minor problems or our small problems, compare them with those who have much larger problems than ourselves. You know, if I say, okay, I have a tough time at work, the person at work is giving me, you know, some difficulty. Okay, go visit somebody who is, you know, in the hospital, who's suffering from a terminal disease that has no cure and is in pain every day and cannot sleep because of the pain he's in or she's in. Then it makes us what? Look at this and say, what am I talking about? You know, I'm just having a problem with my boss at work and this person can't even sleep because of his pain. Let's look at the people maybe who are suffering more than us and say, you know what? I have no reason to complain or to be sensitive. Listen to the wise Solomon tells us. He says, also do not take to heart everything people say, lest you hear your servant cursing you. For many times also your own heart has known that even you have cursed others. So he says, don't take be so sensitive to what people say about you, because there's a good chance that maybe you did the same to somebody else. Right? He wasn't oversensitive, this blind man. The third thing we learn is that he was secure in who he was. He was secure in who he was. The part where it says the neighbors and those who had previously seen that he was blind, when they came to him, they asked themselves, is this not the one who sat and begged? And they said, some said he is, and others said he is like him. So there was a confusion about who this guy really was. And then he said, I am he. If any of us, or some of us, if we had a deformity, maybe a physical deformity, that required some kind of surgery, or maybe our children, when they were young, they had some kind of physical deformity that they needed surgery. They had an extra toe, or an extra hand, or extra finger, or something like that, that maybe somebody might make fun of them for. We do the surgery early, and we don't tell anybody that we're going for surgery, and we keep it silent, and then, you know, we keep it from all of his friends and everything for the rest of their life. Why? because we're ashamed of this. But this poor blind man, when the people were confused, he could have very easily said nothing and just kind of disappeared in the background. Let them talk. You know, I was blind, but now I see, and I thank God for this, but no need to get into this, you know, in the middle of this. But no, he stood up and said, I am he. He was secure in who he was. He wasn't ashamed of his former weakness and of his blindness. And I'll tell you, I think this is the key, one of the things that Christ wanted to really magnify in this blind man, that he was secure in himself and in his weaknesses. None of us here, myself the first, is not perfect. We have many weaknesses, but we have to acknowledge them and be okay with them and say, okay, this weakness of mine can be a strength of somebody else, and I will lean on that person. God created us to be codependent on one another. Nobody has all of the gifts. We are supposed to be dependent on one another. This is the spirit of love and fellowship that God wants in us. Nor was this blind man intimidated by the wrath and the accusations of the people and the Pharisees. And he wasn't shy to show himself publicly. We must know who we are in order to grow. I must know myself in order to grow. I must acknowledge my weaknesses in order to grow. If I deny the reality of my faults and my weaknesses, I will never progress and grow. Listen to what St. Augustine says. He says, how can you draw close to God when you are far from your own self? Grant, Lord, that I may know myself, that I may know Thee. So in order for us to draw close to God, we have to know ourselves, where I stand. Unfortunately, if I'm blind to where I stand, blind to my weaknesses and my sins, I will never get closer to God. If I never confess and say, okay, these are my weaknesses and these are my sins, then you'll grow up and you'll feel, I'm fine. I'm a saint. I don't need any repentance. Maybe just like the Pharisee and the passage of the publican and the Pharisee. The last thing we can learn is honesty. Honesty. When asked how his eyes were open, the blind man said, a man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes, then went and told me to wash, and I went and washed. He was very truthful. The truthful, by the way, does not mean only saying the truth. But like this blind man, it's also not speaking what you do not know. Being truthful is not speaking what you do not know. And I think in our culture, we have this idea that if you say, I don't know, it's a weakness. How many times, if you ever, you were in Egypt before, you went to Egypt, you asked somebody for directions, and they told you, I don't know. It doesn't happen. Even if they were just moved there from another country, they're going to make something up, right? And sometimes we do the same thing. We feel like if we say, I don't know, it's a sign of weakness because I have a lack of knowledge. Maybe nobody knows everything. It's got to be very, you know, we have to be okay with saying, I don't know. Then they came and they asked, when they asked him about like how it was that he was made well, he never said that Christ spat on the ground. Why? Because he didn't see this. He was blind, right? He didn't see Christ spitting on the ground. But he says, he anointed my, he put clay on my eyes. He felt the clay, but he didn't know how the clay was made, right? So he never said he spat on the ground. And then also, when they asked him, where was Christ? Where is he? He told them, I don't know. I don't know where he went, because Christ withdrew. He didn't make anything up. And then when they asked him, they said, where is he? And he said, I don't know. And then they said, what? How were your eyes opened? He answered and said, a man called Jesus made clay, anointed my eyes, and said to me, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. So I went and washed, and I received my sight. If you pay attention closely, they were asking a question of how. But what was he answering? Because he did not know how, he answered what. He answered what happened. This is what happened. How it happened, I don't know. I don't know, right? It's just like when somebody says, how is the bread and wine changed into the body and blood of the Christ? Well, I can tell you what happens. We gather here together. We say prayers, right? And we have the prayers of the Epiclesis, and our congregation is gathered together in the same spirit, and there's a prayer, and the Holy Spirit descends. But how it happens, I have no idea. It's a mystery. This is what we believe. He did not allow himself, the blind man did not allow himself to bend the truth or invent details. He was extremely honest. I hope that you and I, in our dealings with one another, to be this honest, learn to say, I don't know. Be okay with that. Do not speak what you don't know. If I don't know, stay silent. And don't invent or bend the truth. The Lord allowed this man to endure many hardships through his blindness up until this day he was healed, that he might put him up on a lampstand as an example to all those to see him and glorify God. We learn from this man his faithful obedience. We learn from him not to be overly sensitive. We learn from him to be secure in who he was, and that what gave him the ability to grow. And lastly, we learned how to be honest. God's work wants to be revealed in you and I. I leave you today with this question. You can ask yourself, how is God being revealed in my life? We have 2 weeks left in the Great Fast. I hope we can come up with an answer and begin to live as such, so we can be lights to the world and God can be glorified through our life. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen.